This is the Starting Five, and we always like it when guests come back, and we especially like it when this guest comes back. It is former Raptor Jerome Williams, the JYD. It is a pleasure to have you back, sir.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be back.
And you are a big fan of the NBA, not just a former player. First and foremost, what are your general impressions of the playoffs so far? What has surprised you? What hasn't surprised you? What's got you excited?
Well, you know, the complacency of the playoffs this year, I think, has been very surprising and dynamic overall. I mean, first of all, you got the Dallas Mavericks being taken out by San Antonio, which, you know, really everybody that I knew was giving Dallas the edge, but yet they went home packing early. Then next round, they meet up with Phoenix, who you say, of course, this is going to be a tough series because both teams come with a different dynamic, and Phoenix, you know, basically almost eliminates them by sweeping them. And then you switch over to the East, and you see Atlanta Hawks kind of handling their own in the first round, but then getting handled and manhandled by the Boston Celtics in the second round. Or Atlanta got handled by Orlando. So, you know, it's just been a dynamic. And then, of course, Boston and Cleveland, and the way this series has been back and forth, but not just back and forth, but to the point where you're just surprised and you got to watch because you don't know if LeBron's going to show up. You don't know if Boston's going to show up and Rajon Rondo is just going to take over the game. It's just been amazing throughout this year. And then, of course, who can say anything about the Lakers? You know, they hit a couple of bumps in the road early on, but now they seem to be rolling right along.
And then north of the border, of course, we have our guy, Steve Nash. How impressed are you by what Steve's done, given the fact that he's not getting any younger, and yet he's still rolling along, and, you know, he gets that big bump to the eye and, you know, patch it up and keep on going?
Hey, Steve Nash, what can you say? He was in the Dawgs draft, 1996. He was the best point guard in that draft. A lot of point guards came before him, got drafted before him, but he's still holding it down and showing what true point guards do. And that's distribute the basketball and lead a team. And he's leading his Phoenix Suns back into the upper echelon of the playoffs, which is the Western Conference Finals. And, you know, they got a good supporting cast. My ex-teammate Grant Hill is doing a phenomenal job. I joked with him the other night when I was in Phoenix that it's so funny. Before, he was the scorer, and I was his defender. And now he's the defender on the team and not the scorer. So I say, hey, man, you come full circle. So we had a laugh about that. But they have a good team, a good nucleus. And, of course, Alvin Gentry is doing a great job out there in Phoenix and really, you know, just controlling that team and really just giving them the right game plan to win.
And then from your perspective, I guess you do have former teammates and players that you know in the playoffs. Do you root for teams or do you root for guys when you're watching the playoffs?
You know, I have to root mainly for guys because, you know, if I take too much time looking at the jersey, I lose perspective. You know, I train a lot of these guys during the summer out here in Las Vegas. They come out and, you know, I got them doing push-ups, sit-ups, you know, running sprints, shooting jumpers, dunking the basketball, you know, trying to teach them a little JYD enthusiasm. And, you know, so I cheer for the individuals out there.
And then the big story up here with the Toronto Raptors is, of course, Chris Bosh and his impending free agency. And, you know, he gets on the Twitter and he had a few things to say. What was your general impression of that?
Well, you know what? I didn't really catch what he said on Twitter.
He basically just called out to the fans and asked him what he should do.
Huh. Wow. Well, hey, you know, that's for him and his fans. And, you know, what the fans say?
I'm not sure. So some kind of got upset about it here in Toronto because they were like, oh, no, he's out the door kind of thing.
Right, right. Well, you know, hey, if he asked the fans, at least he, I guess, put it in their court. I mean, if you want to look at it that way. But for the most part, I think that for Chris Bosh, you know, it's a decision that, you know, is basically going to ultimately impact the rest of his career. He's in a situation where, you know, he's going to be, if he wants to win a championship, he will have to be the second or third best player on the team, you know, to get that accomplished, you know, in moving to a different team. If he stays with the Raptors, They have a good enough team that's only going to get better, but yet they do need, you know, a couple more pieces to the puzzle.
And then for you, you were a guy who interacted with the fans, liked the fans a lot. Do you ever think about how it would have been with you playing and they had all this social media stuff like Twitter and Facebook and stuff like that, and how a guy like you might have used that to your advantage or maybe not?
You know what? Now it'd be crazy because, you know, as far as being a fan favorite, you know that Twitter and Facebook, it would have just been craziness going on. Pandemonium in the dog pound. I mean, I got dog pound Twitter followers and Facebook followers now, and this is 5 years later. So I can only imagine. You know, the dog pound is still heated up at this stage in the game, and it's been 5 years since I picked up a basketball on the court. So, I really think guys should take advantage of it. It's a great way to communicate with your fans. It's a great way to communicate with family, friends, everybody, really, for that matter. I would have definitely took it full advantage of it.
And then one of the things, I think, for fans, getting back a little bit to Chris, but just in general, when you are someone who cares about the fans, and I think Chris does, but you did as well in your time there. When you become a free agent and all that, how hard is it for you to take that and say, well, I love my fans here in a certain city, but then you have to take into account your personal interests and your family and your career? How difficult is it to balance that when you're trying to make that decision?
Well, you know what? I think every individual is different. You know, first and foremost, for me and my fans, you know, I always kept it in perspective. You know, without your fans, you know, you're only as far as your fans are going to push you. You know, and I just really kept it in perspective that without them, you know, I wouldn't have any salary. You know, I'd still be a good basketball player. I'd still be, you know, able to do the same things that I did on the court. But without people appreciating what you're doing, you know, and willing to pay for it, hey, you're really just like an ordinary guy. So that's what I always told myself. I'm an ordinary guy with people who appreciate what I do and are willing to pay for it. So if they're willing to pay for it, then I should be willing to sign autographs, take pictures, and do things for them that they need because they're the ones that are, you know, paying my salary. So Facebook, Twitter, all that would have been in my arsenal in order to keep up with them, let them know how I'm feeling, what I'm up to, you know, injury reports. I'd be doing everything because, you know, they're the ones out there supporting you and doing all that they can to put money in your pocket. So, hey, that's my take on it, James.
And, hey, you are one of the few people that has been able to make the successful exit from Toronto. It has not worked out well for a lot of folks when they've left Toronto. With you, just the mention of Jerome Williams brings smiles to people's faces, and they still love you in Toronto.
Well, you know, I got a lot of love up there in Toronto, and I love the fans, and I have a lot of friends and Dog Pound members still there, and I still, of course, go up there and work. I will be probably up there on June 14th for the home team kickoff, our book launch with Eric Walters and myself. They're actually going to do a game at the ACC Center with Phase 1. So I'm always looking for different opportunities to come back and see my fans in Toronto. I love them. They love me, and that's just our bond.
And you used to have a good time up there for Caravana in August when they do that.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And then one more thing. We will talk about the book that you mentioned, but one more thing I wanted to ask you about. You mentioned about working with various players. One of the players the last time we talked about that you had worked with was Amir Johnson. Now, Amir Johnson, also a free agent for the Raptors, had a really good season for himself. What did you think of what Amir did this season with Toronto?
Well, you know, I think he's still a young player. I think he did a good job. He's still in development. But for the most part, I think that you know, guys like Amir are needed in Toronto. You know, they're young players and still haven't carved out their niche in this league. And tutelage and guidance, I think they can be great players.
And then he's kind of got the other two guys who they kind of formed this little group called the Young Guns with Sonny Weems and DeMar DeRozan. What did you think of those two guys?
you know, I think they're going to be, you know, later on some of the go-to guys for the Raptors. And I think that they've proven themselves in terms of willing to go hard and really change the tempo of the game with their energy. So developing guys like Sonny Weems and Amir Johnson and my young dunk protege that would be, you know, in DeMar DeRozan, that they have to be willing to put in the time during the offseason to get better. Because if they get better and mix that with their energy, they're going to be unstoppable.
And then you mentioned about working with players and stuff like that. Have you ever toiled around with the idea of getting into coaching or anything like that? Because I know last time we talked about Alvin Williams getting into coaching and coaching with the Raptors. Is that something down the line in your future that you'd consider?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, I never leave any stone unturned in terms of, you know, what my abilities are. I think that coaching is somewhere maybe in the future with the right opportunity and the right perspective on the game, because I'm very dedicated to the game and I only play it one way. So I train guys the right way. I teach them about the levels of fundamentals as well as the aspects of plays and the dynamics of how you put together a win. You know, so yeah, somewhere down the line maybe I'll get into that a little bit more heavily.
And then one last thing basketball-wise, actually it's more sports-wise. You're a guy who I would think is of high moral character, and I think anyone who you mentioned the name Jerome Williams would come up with that same conclusion. Today in sports, we see a lot of stuff that isn't that way, and we live in a different world that kind of has people with camera phones and TMZs doing sports now and all of that. What is it that young guys have to learn to kind of get that and stay out of the news for the wrong reasons?
Well, I mean, first of all, you know, the NBA is one of the toughest places to work in terms of a player because, you know, no matter how good you are or what type of good person you are, you're going to be around certain situations that are out of your control with fans, with people, with, people who don't have very good intentions. And what I try to strive to tell young players is that, you know, you really just have to be, you know, internal fortitude enough to just turn away from a lot of stuff that, you know, might look good on the outside but really isn't going to be good for you on the inside. And, you know, you got the partying, the clubs, the women. And it takes a special person to be able to continuously say no, 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 no. I mean, when everybody else around you is saying yes, 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 yes. So, you know, it's a tough thing. Spiritually, you have to be grounded and know that your blessings are coming from above and really be honoring those blessings by doing the best job you can do personally because nobody's perfect. There is no perfect person out there. But strive to do the best you can to really, you know, know that you got a lot of fans and a lot of them are young, so you want to give them the right example.
Indeed, and this book that you mentioned earlier, it's kind of geared at kids. It's called Home Team, and it actually involves something about your time in Toronto, and you actually authored a bit of this, I am told.
Absolutely, absolutely. Eric Walters is first and foremost award-winning author, alongside my brother Johnny Williams, who also co-authored the book. Just an opportunity for me to really reach out to, again, my fans and give them an opportunity to, you know, meet some of the young challenges that they have as youth growing up and, you know, try to dance around those obstacles. And Eric is such a brilliant writer. He's able to create, the platform to really get this across. We actually allowed thousands of kids in Ontario to help us write the book. We emailed them a chapter. They were able to go online, tell us what they thought about it, and help us produce the book. So it was an excellent way for us to reach out to not only my fans, but book readers, young readers, encouraging young boys to read. We want them to be NBA fit, and that's the program and the campaign, but we also want them to be great readers and great educators.
Yeah, and you've been involved in both the NBA Fit campaign and the Read to Achieve programs in your time as a player and since.
Absolutely, absolutely. NBA Reach to Achieve, NBA Fit, I think, are some of the best programs out there. And they really do a lot for the kids, but they have to be backed by players. You know, if the kids don't see the players, they don't really buy in as much.
Yeah, you know? because you guys are visible, and you make it, wow, that's cool, because this guy who I've watched dunk a basketball is telling me to do these things, and that has a little bit more impact than if mom and dad try and do it, even though mom and dad should be doing that too.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
And then one last thing, you mentioned about a book for kids and stuff like that, but you yourself, sir, have lived a pretty interesting life in the NBA, and you went to Georgetown and all of that. Would there ever be like a Jerome Williams autobiography that you would do? You said you'd consider all things. That might be something that, you know, I know Raptor fans would dig it.
You know it. Possibly, you know, I'm not turn the page in that chapter of my life where I think I need an autobiography. But I do feel as though I might put something like that together, just in terms of who I know and what I've done in the years that I've been doing it. So I think, you know, the right ambiance, I can put that work in.
And, you know, you're a multifaceted person. You once refereed a wrestling match. I mean, you've done a lot of different things in your time, and it's always fun, and you're always a good person, and it's always fun to talk with you.
I appreciate it, James.
Thanks so much. And other than coming up to Toronto in June, anything else you'd like to say to the folks up here north of the border in the Toronto area and Canada at large?
Oh, definitely. Check me out on Automotive Street Style. And on Facebook, stay up with me, friend me, and you can stay up on everything that I'm doing in the community with cars, with the NBA and everything else, with the Raptors. So I know I got a lot of fans out there. JYD hasn't gone anywhere, so make sure you get at me.
Excellent. You can still do the bark, and hopefully you can for many years to come.
And you know it.